Hi, welcome to the CX Tipping Point podcast. Citizens deserve a government they can trust. This is where we bring together leaders from government and industry to reveal the secrets behind how we're transforming customer and citizen experiences. On the show, we chat with unsung heroes who work behind the scenes to improve the lives of citizens and government employees. We learn from the people who do it and the challenges they face. I'm your host, Martha Doris. Let's do it. Welcome to the CX Tipping Point podcast. Today, we're talking to Indra Sandal, the Chief of Innovation at the Tampa Veterans Hospital, and Mr. Greg Goines, Vizen 9 Network Director, Executive Sponsor of the VHA Uber Health Connect Initiative. Thank you both for talking to us today, and welcome to the CX Tipping Point podcast. I also wanted to congratulate Dr. Sandal on her Service to the Citizen Award this year. So thank you for both of you for your service. Why don't we get started by describing each of your roles at the VA and your journey to this role? So Greg, can we start with you?
Sure, that'd be fine. So as you said, I'm the Vizen 9 Network Director. What that is or entails is I oversee healthcare operations in the Mid-South region. Our Vizen, that's the Veterans Integrated Service Network, that is Kentucky and Tennessee primarily. There are a couple other states that we serve in part, but it is primarily following orders of those two states. We have five major tertiary care health systems in those two region, in those two states within our region. That is within Lexington, Louisville, Nashville, Johnson City, that we call Mountain Home, and also Memphis. So we focus on as much as you can possibly imagine to the highest level of care, short of possibly transplant. And we take care all the way, you know, to the most basic things, ambulatory care, primary care, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow. I just have to ask you, are you talking about Johnson City, Tennessee?
Yes. Yes. Oh. We have a health system in Johnson City. We call it Mountain Home. In fact, I think one of the big highlights for our region in particular is Johnson City, that Mountain Home VA, and also the Lexington VA were recently recognized by CMS as one of the top three facilities in the entire state, and that's public and private, for health system satisfaction and family satisfaction with the care they receive.
That's exciting. So I'm from Kingsport, Tennessee, originally. So
yes, so you probably know the area well.
I do. So, and I've actually known people that were in that VA facility down there, the veterans home in the area. So great to know, and congratulations on, I mean, the VA does great healthcare. So, and they get recognized all the time for their medical facility. So thank you. So Dr. Sandal.
Yes, Martha, thank you so much for having us here, and so glad to be on this podcast. As you mentioned, my name is Indra Sandal. I'm the Chief of Innovation at Tampa VA Hospital, Florida, and also a national lead for the VHA Uber Health Connect Initiative. We'll talk a little bit more, what does that entail as a Chief of Innovation and also as a national lead for this initiative. But to give you a little bit of a background about me before we'll go into the initiative, I grew up in India in a military family. My dad served 36 years in Indian Air Force. I did my schooling in Indian Air Force and also went to the academy for my higher education, completed my PhD in the genomics and infectious disease. Some things which I learned very early on in my life from my dad and also from the environment where I grew up, the three things which I still apply to everything what I do professionally and personally. One is discipline, second is dedication, and third is determination. So those are the three things which I think that people who know me with those things. For my higher education, I moved to US and always wanted to work for the veteran. Coming from the military family, that was my dream. And the requirement to work in the VA in the US is that you have to be a US citizen. So before becoming a US citizen, I was assistant professor of medicine in University of Utah, Salt Lake City, where my home is at this time. And moment I became a citizen in 2015, I applied all across the country. I didn't care which city I might land. I wanted to work for the VA. I landed in Memphis, Tennessee. So, and joined there as a director of innovation and completed my schooling also from the Northwestern and came on the innovation side. So I served in VA almost 7 years and became a VHA Innovation Ecosystem Fellow prior to this position, and also the VHA Executive Management Fellow, where I spearhead this initiative, which we'll talk a little bit more. Tampa, I joined only 7 months ago as a Chief of Innovation, moved from Memphis, Tennessee, from the Vision 9, where Mr. Goings is.
Well, I don't even know how to respond to all that. It's so, you know, inspiring first of all your hard work and you know, how you've translated what you learned growing up and as a child and coming from another country and wanting to serve our veterans, and, you know, going through the effort of becoming a citizen and getting into the government. And for people who think about careers, and, you know, we are always trying to attract people to government service. And so VA is definitely an agency that you can do almost any job, but, you know, to attract the people of your caliber, education, you know, it's really a testament to, you know, what you can accomplish by being a federal employee. So congratulations. Thank you. And I love your three things that you learned growing up that you apply to your life. And I agree with them all. So why don't we shift back to Greg a little bit and just talk about, you're the executive sponsor for the VHA Uber Health Connect initiative. What does that mean? What does that entail?
Well, I think first and foremost, it entails doing everything I can to support Indra. She's really the one that kind of brought this vision forward and had an idea to partner with a private sector organization like Uber to really answer what I would consider a pretty big question as to what we're going to do with some of the travel challenges that we have. So as the executive sponsor, I get an opportunity to be a mouthpiece, to really share what the program is, in addition to what Indra typically does on a routine basis, which I think is a pretty phenomenal job of doing that anyway. But then the other thing I get to do is I get to share the resource and the work she's doing around the resource with other people in the country to try to get them on board with at least making a pilot within their own region or something like that. If you look at the way the VA is structured, we have 18 regions. Those are those visions I referred to previously. Mm-hmm. So 18 of us cover a unique region of healthcare operations. Typically speaking, if the network director is on board with something, that tends to get a little more feel for it. So my job primarily has been trying to get, again, the vision that Indra brought to the table out into the masses beyond just our vision. We kind of started Uber Health with two regions. Visit 9 was one of them. And the use case that we were able to show and the value we were able to show gave me the ability then to really share that with other regions and showing where we could meet the gap of need and transportation for the veteran, but also the value it brings to their region and to their health systems, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm sure, Indra, that, you know, you're like heads down doing your job and, you know, having a vision and making this happen, but it's always good to have somebody, a champion around you who helps to create the environment where you can, you know, he's kind of the blocker and tackler, right, for you to just keep this thing going and get your job done. Is that, am I understanding it correctly?
Correct. You are definitely correct on that. Yes.
Yeah. We all need those, you know. Where, how do you get funding how do you create more awareness? How do you scale pilots that you start? And honestly, when you find a pilot that works, you want to share it with the rest of the organization and the other vet, the other VA VISNs. Indra, as a national lead, what is your role specifically?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it's not my primary job. So my primary job is when I started this in Memphis 2.5 years ago, my primary job was I'm a director of innovation in Memphis. And now I'm a chief of innovation in Tampa. That's my primary job.
Mm-hmm.
This started with a fellowship. So VHA Innovation Ecosystem is a program office which have a fellowship program. And they select 3 or 4 fellows every year from different VA hospitals to work on the problems, which are like the problem which I took, transportation, some of the biggest problem or the issues which are a barrier for the access to care, and give the support to those fellows, not at the program office level, but also at a VA hospital level and from the different partnership level, and then let them work on that issue in a partnership with the private sector, and then see how we can spread that enterprise wide. So that's how I started in 2020 when I became a VHA Innovation Ecosystem Fellow, which is entrepreneur in residence. And I took this challenge, which we'll talk a little bit more why this one, and decided to work on this challenge, which is the largest barrier to the healthcare access to our veterans, and start working on it. as a national lead, so the fellowship ended 1 year, then I continued that project as a national lead. My 20% time goes by the VHA Innovation Ecosystem to work on this program. And as a national lead, I oversee the all program. And the program has a national team, and team belongs from the Veteran Transportation Program Office, a team from Uber Health, and a team from the Deloitte for the project management, and the team from the VHA Innovation Ecosystem. So I oversee the teams, which are from 3 different program offices, including Uber Health and also the Deloitte. What we do there, when I oversee and when I lead this program with our national team, we have an executive steering committee. I'm the chair of that. And the co-lead of this initiative is the director of Veteran Transportation Program Office, Ben Williams. He's the co-chair on that committee. We provide the overall strategic direction to the whole program, sign off on the major work products if we need any change in the products which are coming from the Uber Health, take major decisions, work with the executive leadership team directly, and work with the advisors and the sponsors to see their vision, where we are falling, resolve issues which are coming from the leadership or anywhere from the team, and remove the barriers by working closely with the executive sponsor like Mr. Goings. We do have an executive sponsor, Garth Miller, who is the executive director of the member services, and also several other advisors which are at the executive level. So it's too complex, but that's how it works. But to give you a little bit of an example, how does it look like? When we launched this program in the phase 2 this April, we did it in 2.5 months, back-to-back launches in 58 VA hospitals, one launch in 1 day in one VA hospital. What does that mean? We went for a briefing to the executive leadership team for 30 minutes as a briefing for the launch of this program, followed by the 4 hours training to the mobility managers and the travel. So till now, I might have done 100 briefings, more than 100, to the executive leadership team, and also providing them the quarterly report for their hospital. So that's one example of how I run the whole program at this time.
So how did you all identify transportation as one of the major barriers to the delivery of healthcare, access to healthcare?
Yeah, and I will let Mr. Goings to start with, and then I can give you some numbers on it.
Transportation in general has always been one of those items that floated to the top as far as limitations and our ability to really truly execute our full mission of caring for veterans. The veterans in particular, we do a lot of things very similar to what happens in the private sector. There are some things that we deal with that I believe are a little different. Without going through all of those, as it pertains to this particular topic, transportation tends to be a limitation for us, both coming in the door and going out the door. The social admissions that we deal with, people that have issues with housing or food insecurity, tends to be where we have the biggest need on the back end, getting people to be able to get transported from their care at the VA, especially post inpatient stays, to a resource that we've identified and linked them up with. So what ends up happening is, even though we have a pretty extensive transportation network with DAV or some of those other organizations, there are still gaps. And so this has really truly helped us give us the flexibility and more scale to be able to address those needs post-admission. On the front end, we have a lot of issues, just like every other health system in the country, with no-shows from time to time. No-shows, there's a myriad of reasons as to why people can't make their appointment after it's done. And obviously, there's a cost to the health system when that occurs. So Uber Health is actually, this partnership has actually allowed us to tap into a transportation network, again, that's a little more robust than what we currently have and more flexible for the veteran, to be able to get them to their appointments so that we have fewer no-shows. And ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, with fewer no-shows and better delivered care, it gives us the ability to keep people out of the hospital in the first place. So the benefit is really on the front end and the back end. And part of the way that this was identified is because it tends to be one of the larger challenges that we deal with in facing no-shows, but also post-admission discharges and movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really exciting, because you can take, I mean, I'm sure you're, in terms of the benefits of this program, you can look at and assess this result of the no-shows. I mean, even if you think back to the problems that happened, you know, in the past with appointments and not being able to schedule enough appointments, it reduces that, right? So people don't end up not being able to get appointments because they're full, but then people don't show. So there seems to be a lot of benefits and values to the VA, the veterans, in a program like this. Andrew, I want to go back to you and just, we haven't really said, what is this program? Like, what does it mean? What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I know that it was coming. So to give you a little bit of a tag on what Mr. Goings mentioned here, that how big is this problem? And how big is this barrier, which we call transportation? To give you some numbers, it's around 1.8 million missed appointments, which happens every year in all the VA facilities, is because of transportation, which cost agency.
Is that million across the whole VA?
Yeah, it's all across the VA hospitals. Okay. 1.8 million. There are several million missed appointments, but the one which is because of the transportation is around 1.8
wow.
million with M. And it cost agency 4.4 billion, B as a Bravo, $4.4 billion. And we'll talk a little bit more on how we took care a little bit from this initiative. But also to give you an idea that this is considered as a transportation is one of the largest barriers to the access to care for our veterans. And also around 56% of veterans that live in the rural areas are 65 plus. 11% have a car, and more than 30% rely on family for transportation. So you can believe how big is that problem, considering that if they have to have access to care to come to the facility to get the care. Because we can only provide veterans with exceptional care if they are able to reach to the facility. If right. we cannot make that happen, there's no way we can provide that. So this is something which, that's why this initiative came in, that can we do something to work on this barrier, which is the largest barrier for their care. So, yeah, go ahead.
When you went into the as a fellow in the VA innovation ecosystem, and you selected transportation, how did you come up with this idea, and give us a little bit of insight into that process that the VA uses through the innovation ecosystem?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. So before that, as a VHA Innovation Ecosystem a fellow, as I mentioned earlier, that if you are focusing on the access of care, look for the things which are the largest barrier. Transportation is one of the largest barrier. And I thought this might be something which we can work on, because before becoming a fellow, I did 1 or 2 year work in Memphis, where we were looking for the transportation, that how we can work on that barrier. So with that experience and seeing that such a big problem to the access of care, I thought that might be a good idea to see how we can work around it, and then how we can see that. But the main thing was not only that we wanted to work on this barrier, but the thing is how we can work on this, how we can make it happen. Because Veteran Transportation Program Office does provide the transportation to our veterans. So how we can go around and bring some innovative thought process that to in the VA, considering it's sometimes very difficult to do that. So I proposed something which I thought, let's dream big. I get the fellowship, good. If I don't, that's fine too. So I came up with this, let's do the public-private partnership with the Uber Health. Because in my personal life, I use rideshare a lot. And I know how convenient it is if I have to take a flight at 3 o'clock in the morning, or if I have to come home at the midnight. So I take rideshare in my life very much. So I thought, can we bring that? And is it possible? And when I proposed, people thought I'm crazy, because this is something which is not known to take care in the VA, that how can you bring the Uber Health, which is a private sector, one of the best in the technology, in our hospital. So yeah, and then I proposed this, that let's have a public-private partnership with the Uber Health so that we can use the rideshare services for our veterans to and from the medical facility, or anywhere wherever they need the care. And in that process, we have to also involve the Veteran Transportation Program Office. We cannot go and then do something because I wanted to do it. We have to have a right stakeholders on board. So this partnership was between the VHA Innovation Ecosystem, Veteran Transportation Program Office, and the Uber Health. And it took almost 1 year for us to work on the compliance and the regulatory piece of it. And that was the whole 2020 and 21, I worked on that partnership to make it happen. And once that partnership was established in January 2022, we launched this program as a pilot phase one in two regions in 10 VA hospitals, including one Vision 9, which is Memphis, Tennessee, and that area, and the Vision 15 that include Kansas City, Missouri, St. Louis, those other VAs. And with the success of that, after 16 months, this April, and we'll talk a little bit more later, this April, we launched it in 58 VA hospital, 18 states, including Puerto Rico, in 58 VA hospitals where it is running at this time. So initiative does three things, which is the main goal for this objective. One is to reduce the no-shows and the missed appointment so the veterans can come on time. Second is to improve their experience, because the most important goal of this program is how we can increase the experience, improve the experience of the veterans, and bring them on time, but in a very convenient way so that they can have their medical appointment. And the third piece was cost saving to the VA hospital. As I mentioned, it did cost $4.4 billion every year to the VA hospital. So that was the main objective for this program. And we'll talk a little bit more on that, where we are and how we are doing the impact, not only on the VA hospital, but main thing on the veterans' health outcomes.
Yeah, and there's so many tangents. I mean, there's so many things that this, you know, ideas that this brings to my mind as you're talking about it. And one is when people in the government are looking to do an initiative like this or to improve the experience that their customers are having with their agency and the services, sometimes they go down the technology path and sometimes they go down the, you know, innovation path. And normally people think of it in terms of technology, but what you've done is you've taken a look at a partnership between the government and industry. And you can see when you talk about the benefits, reducing the no-shows, improving the experience with timeliness and convenience, and then the cost savings. And those are really things that people can think about as they're both justifying investments in customer experience and, you know, capturing the benefits on the back end so that they can show the benefit of sometimes it costs money to get these things started, but in the long run, look at the improvements that you can demonstrate. And not just from the soft skills or, you know, experience of the veterans, but also in hard numbers and savings to the government and efficiency in the government in the long run. So I love all of those aspects of the story that you're sharing with us today. The other thing that you mentioned was about working with breaking down barriers across agencies when you start from the customers, right? So you started with the problem that you're trying to solve, and you worked with all of these organizations across the VA and the private sector. And you also work with, you know, private companies that are supporting your program. And what is your secret sauce on how do you continue to drive that enthusiasm and that like common vision and goal while you keep all of these, you know, balls in the air?
That's a very good question, Martha.
I know. And it's off script too. So I'm, you know, but you know, you're obviously enthusiastic and committed to the vision and the goal that you're trying to accomplish. And I know myself from just trying to embed customer experience and improve the services that the government delivers to their customers, how hard it is sometimes to get people to understand. And, you know, Greg's got the job of going out and communicating it. And he's the like band leader at the, you know, at the front of the parade, and your troops are just following right behind doing it.
That's very true. So two things I think so is very important. And I didn't mention the another program office, which we worked closely and they invested also in this program, is the Veteran Experience Office. Because they work with us to send the surveys through the vet text to our veterans. And we'll talk a little bit on that, that we did get a lot of the feedback from the veterans. And also they did human-centered design study with our veterans, interviewed several of our veterans to know about this program. So I don't want to miss that piece. VEO is another program office, which we worked very closely with them. But coming back to your point, and I will let Mr. Goings to chime in there later. Two things I think so I always think from the partnership point of view, whether we are doing internally in the VA or externally, the collaboration and the teamwork. Those are the two things I think so I learned very early in my life as a researcher. But from the business school, learned one thing is that how can you bring these stakeholders, which doesn't belong to each other? They are basically competing with each other. They are in different orbits, program office, then the Uber Health and the VA hospitals, the network directors, the vision, and they are in different orbit. How can you bring all these high stake stakeholders on the same table and let them do the same thing with the common goal? And I think so the goal has to be very clear. And the one thing which I think is very common with all the stakeholders when I was trying to pitch this idea to them, that they all wanted to see the impact on the veterans' healthcare. That can we have a positive healthcare outcome on veterans? money, operational wise, partnership wise, everything is good. But is it going to impact our veterans? I think so. With the collaboration and with some of my best practices, which I learned, collaborative behavior, having the assigning some team leaders who are both task and the relationship oriented, creating a relationship because that doesn't happen overnight. How can you create the relationship or establish the relationship? That is the key to the success. You have to have a relationship, partnership with the other people, and supporting a strong sense of community. That is something is very important because all these stakeholders are diverse. They don't talk to each other. They don't understand each other language. But what is the common among all of them, which can make happen and then impact our veterans? So I think so. The secret sauce here is a collaboration, teamwork, and the common goal to impact our veterans' healthcare outcome. I don't know if it makes sense or not, but
Yeah, I
that's
mean,
what
it's
I
like
think.
bringing, we all throw around these terms, put the customer at the center of your operation, make the customer, customer first and the customer focused government and all these. And this is an example of where you did put, you started with the problem and the access to care and you being very clear about how this impacts the healthcare for veterans and then. And then, how can we make this work? What were some of the challenges that you found along the way in terms of like setting up a relationship with the private sector to do a public-private partnership in this way? I mean, last week I had to have, or the beginning of this week, I had to have my car serviced, done a safety recall. And I went to the dealer and I thought, oh, I'll just wait for the car. And they said it's going to be 4 hours. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait 4 hours. And they just had their little tablet there and they like called me a Lyft ride. Well, they went to Uber first and it was like $40 and they went to Lyft and it was like $13 and they said your ride will be here in 2 minutes. And it's a similar situation, right? Like, so they have a partnership with ride shares. And so I was able to like at least, have a real example in my mind of how they're using it anyway. But creating that relationship, I mean, I was in the government. I know it's not easy sometimes with these contractual relationships.
Yeah, and I will let Mr. Goings a little bit talk because I'm working with him from the very first day when we proposed this idea. When I started my fellowship, the first thing came that I presented in the executive leadership team, and because we needed a buy-in from the medical center directors from the Vision 9. 3 years ago, he was a medical center director of Lexington. And I presented in that executive leadership team, and he was the first one who raised his hand and then said that, yes, I'm in. So he knows all this thing when I started from the very first day, and he's also my mentor at this time. So I will let him talk about this, that how this all happened and what it needs from the government level that to go into that high level also, and also go deep into the weeds to make it happen. So I will let Mr. Goings to talk a little bit on that.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's worth mentioning that this partnership with Uber Health and our health systems is not just a it's not just a government private or public private partnership by itself. This is actually a partnership for Uber Health to tap into health systems to support patient transport that really is undone anywhere. This is not something. I really want to give credit to Indra for this and her partnership with Uber Health because there's really no big health system in the country, public or private, that's doing this, at least not when this started. As far as the government kind of approach and the partnership with Uber Health, you are 100% correct. It is very difficult sometimes to get people to want to do things, especially in partnership with the public sector or the private sector, and even more in particular when it is something no one else has done. So I think what ultimately helped us on the front end is there were some early adopters that really showed the value proposition of the program. And in my mind, that is ultimately That is ultimately the aspect that helps anything like this be successful. There's got to be some people that are willing to step out, take a risk, try something new. Once that happens, you can almost always count on people jumping behind you and doing the same if you're able to clearly articulate the value proposition and ultimately what it means for them, especially if there's a cost savings. I think one of the challenges for us as we moved forward with this was we knew there were benefits being achieved. We knew that there were things that were occurring within the organization that ultimately other people would rally behind and want the same benefits realized in their own organization. But the challenge is, how do you equate that to dollars or time or resource savings? That is always challenging because we don't have an environment we might have in the private sector where if you're able to create something, you then just liquidate a bunch of resources or lay people off. The federal government doesn't do that. So we really have to dispel first that rumor and then ultimately figure out a way to clearly articulate savings in the system that was defensible when punch holes in it, because that always happens too with some of the folks that are a little leery to change, try something new. So once we showed the benefit and we got a clear view of how we were going to calculate and articulate those savings to the system, it gave us kind of a roadmap to move forward. And I think that's ultimately what happened. There was a couple sites said yes, and then a couple more sites jumped on.
I wanted to go just to Indra. I guess, is there anything that we haven't talked about yet that we, any recommendations for, if you have an idea in an agency on how to do something, what do you recommend to people in order? I mean, the VA has this innovation ecosystem, which is very helpful when you're bringing in an idea. But if you have an idea in an agency and you want to get support for it, do you have any thoughts and advice?
Yeah, Martha. So before I get there, maybe let's go back a little bit, and then I know that we are running out of time. So to give you a little bit what Mr. Goings mentioned about how it worked out and where we are at this time, to give you an overall impact to date for this initiative that might be really important for the audience. We all talked about this initiative, why we are doing it. Where we did it, but what's the impact we have at this time? What we are seeing in the numbers and what we are getting the feedback from the veterans. So let's give you in 2 minutes a little bit about that. So at this time, we are in 68 VA hospitals in 20 states, and in 1.5 years, it's almost 18 months now. Since we launched in January 2022, 58,000 rides are completed by more than 10,000 unique veterans, because one veteran taken several rides in last 1.5 years. And around 68 million dollars in the cost saving. That's a very big number, and we are always careful when we are talking. But that is based on how many bed days you saved, because you are letting patient to go home after the discharge, and also how many missed appointments you avoided, which cost agency a good amount of dollars. So that is the impact what we are seeing at this time. From the veterans' point of view, I did sat with some of the veterans, because it's always good your team can talk to them. But when you talk to them, then you feel the impact. And being a daughter of veteran, it seems like you are doing something way beyond the cost saving, or way beyond something which is needed. Recently, I sat with one veteran from Tampa VA, and he's living in a shelter at this time. He's a beneficiary travel eligible veteran. So to give you idea that this program doesn't need any funding, VA hospital do have funding for the beneficiary travel eligible veterans. So that funding is used for this program. That's another benefit for the VA hospital. And I sat with him. He said only one thing. He said, I have four appointments in a week, and I have to take bus, and sometimes I cannot take bus. Sometimes I cannot walk because it's a physical therapy where I am coming. And to get to the appointment four times in a week is almost impossible for me to have my quality of life, what I'm looking for. He started using Uber Health 2 months ago. And I sat with him, and that gave me a little bit of an insight that how much impact it's not you, but the program is bringing to these veterans.
Right.
And that is something which I don't know, that made me realize that it's beyond that, beyond something which we always think that it's about the partnership, it's about the operational, it's about the saving the money, but it's a direct impact on their health.
Right.
And listening several stories like this, I don't want to go in detail, but several stories like this make me feel that we are on the right track, and I am going to work on this. Maybe even if I will become in my leadership wherever I'm heading at this time, next 5 years, yes, I will, if it will not reach to each veteran in the each VA hospital. That's what I'm working towards
So how do you let the veterans know about this program?
it. So we do have a lot of the marketing and the campaign. So there are a lot of flyers and a lot of the each VA hospital, we provided a communication. So the communication is provided to each of the VA hospital. There is a point of contact in each VA hospital, which is the mobility managers. And whenever the veterans come, they talk about this to them. And also on their intranet, which is the internal website for each VA hospital, wherever this program is there, they are there on the internet so that the veterans can see. Till now, I have done several podcasts at a different platform, internally, externally, so to make aware for these veterans to make sure that this program is available. So a lot of the communication is happening at this time, and we are bringing most of the veterans who need the transportation on time to come to the hospital.
Well, I'm sure you're seeing, I mean, you can gauge the success of it and whether it's actually reaching the veterans by the growth in the program and the number of rides and monitoring all those numbers. But your story is, definitely demonstrates the value, right, of somebody who can't really, I mean, because of age, because of disabilities, because of, the health, that's why they're trying to go to appointments, that this provides, and a convenient, easy way to be able to access healthcare. So I don't know how to end it, but with a better story than that. Is there anything else you wanna share today? I mean, I think it's just a great thing to see, leadership and innovation and commitment and enthusiasm and passion for a mission all pulled together in a way that serves our veterans, families, caregivers, and survivors.
That's so true. And I will let Mr. Goings to say the final word, but I will definitely take 1 minute to thank you to a lot of the people. And I have to do that. So I will let first Mr. Goings take the last word, and then I will have some thank you notes to put it here.
Okay. Mr. Goines?
Yeah, I would just publicly state that this is a great resource for us, and it demonstrates a great commitment to innovation. But I would want to say publicly that I really appreciate the work and passion Indra has shown to get these things done, and the love she's shown for our veterans. I think it's really important. I think that's why the VA is different, because we do really try to put the patient, the veteran, at the very forefront of everything we do, and this is a great demonstration of that. I know she's got a long list of people to thank, so I'll let her do that. Otherwise, I appreciate you having us on today and giving us the ability to speak a little bit about a program that we're pretty proud of that's unique.
Thank you for taking the time to do it.
And let me give you a little bit of a thank you, and then I think so I might have not answered the question. I'm not going to do that, but anybody who wanted to do something innovative or the innovation in the VA hospital, it is possible. You dream big, no idea is small, I always say to everyone, and nothing is impossible. There is anybody who's interested out there, wanted to do something innovative, wanted to do something for our veterans, go with your dream. Don't think whether this idea is small or big, and you can make it happen. Nothing is impossible on this earth. So I just want to say thank you to Martha and for giving us this opportunity to come on the podcast, recognizing this program from the team behalf for the Service Citizen Award. But really want to say thank you to our team, particularly to my co-lead, Ben Williams, who is the director of the Veterans Transportation Program Office, our VA Office of Healthcare Innovation and Learning, Innovation Ecosystem, our VISN executive sponsors, advisors, all the mobility managers who trusted us, who had a confidence on us and started the new process with us on the front line, working for us so to make sure that the veterans are coming on time. Thank you to each one of them. And also thank you to all the veterans who believe on this program and using this program. And thank you to everyone, and look forward working with you in the future. And I'm hoping that each veteran will take the chance to try this and then see how it works. So thanks again for having us on your podcast, and really, really very obliged to be working on this program and having a leadership support from the executive sponsors and every piece of the VA hospitals.
Well, thank you so much. And I think, you know, to close with, you know, to quote you, dream big, nothing's impossible and nothing is too small. So if you've got an idea on how to improve the experience for your customers, you know, don't stop, don't give up. So thank you again.
Thanks for listening to the CX Tipping Point podcast. We would love to hear from you. If you have a chance, please rate and review, hit subscribe to keep up with the new episodes, and pass it along to a friend. And in the meantime, follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and tweet us at Doris Consulting.